You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are recording immediately after the Celtics' improbable 107-100 win over the Chicago Bulls. Improbable because they were already without Al Horford, and then they lost Jay Crowder in the first half. This was just a wild game for them to win, especially when they blew a huge lead, and yet they still managed to go on a 7-0 run to close the game. I am John Corrales, joined by Sam Packard, while Jay King runs through the bowels of the garden to go find these guys and talk to them about this amazing win, a huge bounce-back win against a team that beat them. I feel like Bulls and Celtics fans were kind of even now, Sam, where the Celtics probably should have won that game in Chicago, all things considered, and Chicago probably feels like they should have won this game, so we're kind of even as far as that goes.
Yeah, two teams really traded kind of BS threes, where they had, what, Michael Carter-Williams and Dwayne Wade sinking threes for them in the game last week, and then tonight was the Amir Johnson show, four threes in a quarter, so
amazing.
It all kind of evens out in the end.
Let's look quick look at the statistics for those who didn't get a chance to see these at the end of the game. Celtics shot 14 of 32 from three. 14 of 32. And if you want to be selective about this, Amir Johnson was 4 of 4. How about this? Marcus Smart and Amir Johnson combined to shoot 5 of 10 from three. That's amazing. Marcus Smart was 1 of 6, but Marcus Smart, true. This is, I think, I don't want to pigeonhole this guy and say this is who he is, but it's hard not to believe that this is who he is and who he's going to be. Just struggles shooting, and then somehow late he comes up with a huge play, a layup that basically sealed the game. At the end, on an out-of-bounds play where they had 6 seconds left, I believe, he breaks free, gets the layup. Bobby Portis switches onto him, bigger guy, and he gets this big sweeping hook shot to fall.
Yeah, it was kind of the quintessential Marcus Smart game. Is he comes up with the winning play at the end of the game after kind of an up-and-down performance where we see him. There's really no reason Marcus Smart should be attempting 6 threes in a game at this point, but he did it anyways, and somehow he still ended up with 5 rebounds and 5 assists. He had that one really crazy baseline pass, and there was a noticeable kind of increase in the Celtics' defensive intensity when he was on the court. So it was just kind of the roller coaster of Marcus Smart finished on a good note tonight with that amazing finish. It was a really good job by Rajon Rondo to stop the ball from going to Isaiah Thomas in that situation, and Smart made the Bulls pay and kind of sealed the game for him, and it was impressive, and kind of what we've come to expect from Marcus Smart is just making that winning play at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Let me just pause for a moment to talk about that pass that you brought up. I feel like that's going to get lost in all of these, in all of what happened tonight, and it shouldn't, because that pass was really, really, really good. I mean, that was, I don't think I'm overstating it, because LeBron James threw the same pass, and that just happened to go from the same spot out to three, but it didn't have to go through as much traffic. It didn't have to have that same spin on it, because he hit Tyler Zeller on the other side of the lane between three guys. That pass at that angle, I don't even know how you even think to make that pass. To me, that might have been the prettiest play of the game.
Oh, it was damn impressive, and it was the type of thing where when he first threw it, I was like jumping up off the couch going, "What the hell?" And then, oh my Lord, like, yeah, how did that get through there? And it really could have only gone to Tyler Zeller, softest hands in the league. But it was impressive. And he has another good pass to Amir Johnson earlier in the game, and he's displayed kind of a better court vision, at least starting last year, and this is his first game this year, but definitely just knowing the passing lanes, he's definitely got better at pocket passing. So it's a good sign for the Celtics that even though he's not going to be able to contribute as a spot-up shooter, he's going to do everything else he can, and that includes a kind of playmaking.
I want to make sure that we mention Isaiah Thomas's night too, because this is kind of like what you expect from Isaiah Thomas nowadays. But 23 points, 10 assists, 3 steals, had some really big plays where he stripped guys. There was a strip on, I want to say, Jimmy Butler late that, or it was at the end of the first half, I think it was. But he just had some very active hands, very nice plays, and he had a couple of rebounds too. 23 and 10, though, 23 and 10 assists for Isaiah Thomas, 4 of 7 from three. And that layup that broke really keyed off that 7-0 run to close the game, where just off the wrong foot, right-handed, on the other side of the rim, just beautiful stuff from Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, that was it was more impressive because at that moment, you kind of everyone in the building knew that Isaiah Thomas was going to try and score the basketball there, and yet he was still able to kind of use his quickness to split the defenders, and then just his ability to finish. It's just something I haven't really seen before in the game of basketball, and I don't know if it looks better because he is so small, but his English off the glass, and this play wasn't one of those normal like kind of crazy high off the glass swinging plays, but he switched hands and jumped off the wrong foot and was still able to get it in using the wrong hand. It was just another one of those situations that made me jump out of your seat, and that's what you want from your franchise player, your star players, especially when you're missing your arguably your second and third best scorers in Jay Crowder and Al Horford. You need your number one guy to step up, and that's exactly what he did in those final minutes.
Before we continue, I want to remind everybody to please check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can go to our page on Audio Boom, follow one of the links that we will be tweeting out incessantly throughout the day. You can find the Locked On Network there on the left-hand side. Just click on that logo. All of the other teams in the league are represented. The Locked On NBA, a Locked On Fantasy show. Check all of those guys out. And be sure, if this is your first time listening to us, be sure to subscribe. We are everywhere. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, the TuneIn app. Anywhere you can get a podcast, you can get this podcast. Subscribe to us. Rate us 5 stars. And by all, please, tell your friends. Tell everybody about this. The higher you rate us, the more you share, the more we can spread the love and get the word out there. We are daily, Monday through Friday. You can play us anywhere. You can, if you're listening tonight, I'll post this as soon as we're done. Get your fix after a game. If you want to tune in the morning, maybe you can play it over that morning drive. Or on your way home, you want to play it while those other guys are yapping about something, probably Patriots and Red Sox, because that's all they talk about. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our show, downloading our show on a daily basis. Okay, back to the game. Really, this game was won in the third quarter. After Jay Crowder went down, I was sitting there on my couch just like, well, shit. And just deflated and thinking that, here we go. There's no way. The Bulls are going to come out hot. The Celtics are going to come out. They might be a little bit deflated themselves. I don't know. I don't like the way the rest of this game is going. And then Amir Johnson goes into complete takeover mode. 4 of 4 from three. And I will tell you that fourth three-pointer was from the right corner, contested, heat check, and it was nothing but net. And on top of it, on top of finishing the game with 23 points overall, he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a couple of blocks. Amir Johnson, whenever the next mystery machine comes out, I feel like Amir Johnson can take 3 spots of that mystery machine by laying in the back seat and just taking the whole bench.
Absolutely. The big dog deserves it. And shout out to at Samu317 on Twitter, who said exactly that about the mystery machine. It was amazing to see, because normally when Amir Johnson's taking threes, we're making fun of him for his extremely slow release. But this was kind of a a breath of fresh air. And actually, Stevens was talking about in that third quarter interview that he's normally a good shooter, and in practice he makes a lot of his shots. It's just not something you'd see in his game. But you're right, it's the exact kind of lift that the Celtics needed. There was definitely kind of a deflated like momentum in that once Crowder went down and at the end of that half, and he was the one who picked him back up. And I don't think this is going to be something we see from Amir Johnson moving forward, but it was interesting to see how after he made a couple threes, it really affected how the Bulls played defense on him. He's actually able to do a little up fake, drive to the rim, and then get his own putback. Then he had another play where he did an up fake and hit a cutting Avery Bradley. It just really opened up the offense, and I think they built up a 16-point lead in the quarter. It kind of fueled everything they were doing. It's too bad that they kind of let up on the defensive end to start the fourth, because otherwise we shouldn't be talking about the big dog coming through in the clutch.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's – we look at what Isaiah did and what Marcus Smart did. That's the most recent thing that happened in the game. But that Amir Johnson stretch in the third quarter, and Brad Stevens said, we rode it. We rode that thing as long as we could. And there was a stretch. I think they kind of gassed them out a little bit, because there was that stretch in the fourth quarter where the Bulls got like six chances at a basket, and that was kind of the tail end of the collapse for the Celtics. I think that was the one where they tied the game up, and Amir Johnson was just nowhere close to the play, and I think he had given everything he had in the third quarter and just done. But hey, look, you built up a 16-point lead, you gave it all back, but they didn't give up 17 points. You know what I mean? Like, they at least held it to a tie. They got it to 100-100, and the Celtics whipped off seven straight, which really is the most important thing. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's kind of the cliche is that good teams find a way to win games and bad teams find a way to lose games. And some teams may fold after giving up a lead like that in the fourth quarter. But if you have kind of that mental toughness to bear down and still get the win, it's a good sign. You'd rather kind of put away games after being up that much. But the fact that they're still able to get the win without Crowder, without Horford, is a good sign for this team early in the season.
Okay, that's all the positive stuff. Let's get into some of the negative stuff, because we have to. The big negative, obviously, Jay Crowder, who on a jump fake shot, he does that thing where he flares his legs out a little bit, and this time it cost him. His left foot landed on Rajon Rondo's heel, twisted left ankle, a sprained left ankle. He is out, and after the game, Brad Stevens says that he was told it would be at least a week. So, and then, of course, on Twitter, Dr. Jam Packard said, it looks like it might be 2 weeks. So, I agree that it didn't look like it was anything worse than a sprain. But sprains can be pretty bad, and that didn't look great. So, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a couple of weeks, which means the Celtics, again, with these nagging injuries, it's going to be probably December before we get a full complement of Celtics, before we get the team we actually expected to be out there on a regular basis, out there and healthy.
Yeah, it's frustrating for Celtics fans to kind of see this. This was the first time they had Marcus Smart back. We still haven't seen Kelly Olynyk. The Crowder injury is they say it's at least a week, and that makes sense. And the reason I said 2 weeks, one, because I'm a Twitter doctor and I'm a professional. But two, it just seems like there's no reason with this early in the season to kind of rush him back. It felt like the type of thing where a sprained ankle, like Marcus Smart probably could have played, no reason to kind of rush him back early in the season. Jay Crowder, you want him healthy for the long haul. And really, it doesn't – these games – I don't think they matter as much as the team being healthy and clicking, moving into the postseason. But this is going to be a kind of a tougher injury, and Marcus Smart's really going to have to step up, because the Celtics do not have great depth at the small forward position. You're going to see a lot of Jaylen Brown, who made a lot of mistakes tonight on defense and kind of got himself into foul trouble, and then a lot of Gerald Green, who has never really been known for his defense. So it's going to be interesting to see how much playing time Smart gets. And really, if Stevens just slides kind of Marcus Smart into that lineup and they just play super small moving going forward.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing, is what happens next. Tonight in the second half, they started Marcus Smart. And after the game, Brad Stevens did make a point to say, quote, "When we went small, we were really small there. I thought we did a lot of good things." So, yeah, there was a point where it was Avery, Isaiah, and Marcus Smart, and you just roll with it. So I don't know if Jaylen Brown is especially going to be ready. The next game is tomorrow night, or when you listen to the show, tonight, Thursday night, against the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's a tough one to not have Jay Crowder for. And they're gonna really pay. I'm not gonna say that. I'm not confident in winning that game. I'll never count the Celtics out because they always seem to try hard. But I am not confident in winning that game.
Well, also Al Horford is apparently not even going to make the trip, so they're going to be without both Horford and Crowder. And at this point, this is kind of like, do you consider just kind of punting the game and maybe it's a back to back early in the year, maybe and the statistics show that players are more likely to be injured on like the second night of a back to back if it's a road game. Is this something where you maybe just sit Isaiah Thomas or maybe sit Avery Bradley, just because it's kind of a built-in schedule loss at this point? And it's definitely not something I expect the Celtics to do. It's Brad Stevens. It really hasn't done much of that, like a Popovich-style resting of players. But it's something to consider, especially when you're missing two of your top rotation guys and you're going up against the defending champs.
I think it's an interesting concept. And here's another thing to consider, that Marcus Smart came out of the game tonight against Chicago. At one point, he took his left sneaker off. He was kind of hobbling, or at least was uncomfortable coming out of the game. And he sat down, took his sneaker off. And obviously, that's the sprained ankle. So that isn't 100%. He came back out and played well, but that's not 100%. So if the Celtics have an excuse to sit Marcus Smart tomorrow for some reason, then we'll have to reevaluate. But at that point, they're going to be running out of bodies. They won't have Smart. They won't have that, and that's just pure speculation. They definitely won't have Crowder. They definitely won't have Horford. It's three pretty huge guys to be missing. At least two huge guys to be missing. I see where you're coming from. I know Brad Stevens won't do that. He definitely won't do that because that's just not who he is. You don't go out there and give up. You go out there and you play, and you never know what's going to happen. Maybe LeBron James sprains an ankle, and then all of a sudden things get evened out pretty quickly. So I would expect, if Marcus Smart is healthy and his ankle responds well, that he'll get the start, and we'll just see some more of that combination that you mentioned, Brown, Mickey, Jarebko. Jarebko did some nice things tonight. Some not so great, but some pretty good, and he is tied with Amir Johnson to be the leading rebounder with 6, but he also was a -4 out there. So mixed bag for Jarebko, but Jarebko will definitely get some time. Rozier will get in there. Green, obviously. But, you know, then there are guys like Jordan Mickey, who everybody was excited. Yeah, let's get Mickey in there. And then he makes a boneheaded mistake, like stepping over the end line, trying to inbound the ball because he overcommitted to a pass, and he saw a defender came rushing back, and he had nowhere to go. So it was either turn it over by stepping over or turn it over by, you know, a live ball turnover. So the options, some of these options off the bench, not so great. We'll have to kind of see. Maybe that's a chance for Demetrius Jackson to get in the game and show some of his stuff. Brad won't go out there and immediately raise the white flag. But, you know, he's boys with Greg Popovich. Maybe what he does is, if it's not going great early, then he calls off the dogs and says, let's just live to fight another day. Let's not waste Avery and Isaiah. You know, Avery's got that bum shoulder now. Let's not have Isaiah Thomas fall on his tailbone. Let's just get the young guys out there for the second half and deal with it.
Yeah, and that could be a pretty ugly performance, because we've seen the bench struggle
the entire year, and then going out there and trying to prove yourself against the Cavaliers is not going to be pretty. The bench wasn't great tonight either. We really did. Rozier didn't have that great of a game. It shows you how much the Celtics kind of need depth and need everyone back healthy, which is why this Jay Crowder injury hurt so much, is because this team is really built on being able to go 8 or 9 deep consistently with solid rotation players, because they don't have that kind of that superstar talent. So when you shorten that rotation, it's just going to hurt the all around performance of the team. So it's going to be I don't want to say critical, but I already said earlier that these games don't matter as much, but they have 4 games next week, and so it's going to be kind of interesting to see how they deal with these depth issues, just especially moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know what Al Horford's situation is. I will say that, and I tweeted this out, I appreciate, even though it's costing the Celtics Horford for at least a couple of games, I appreciate the NBA's concussion protocol that he had something, they call it a side swipe to the head. He didn't have any symptoms, but he started getting some nausea, and then they just put him into the protocol. Now, who knows? He might have been feeling under the weather. It could be something else, and maybe he'll come out of the protocol and be ready for, you know, the next game. But I appreciate, especially considering the way the NFL treats its players and just runs through them, I appreciate the NBA's handling of players, and especially when it comes to a brain injury, that very traumatic stuff, and it has the potential to be a very long-lasting thing. So I'm happy to treat it with kid gloves, because in the end, his health and well-being are the most important thing. But if it wasn't a real big hit to the head, and if the symptoms were minor, then maybe he could recover quickly. Or maybe it wasn't even really a concussion after all. So, you know, we'll kind of see how. I think he'll come back sooner rather than later. I'd be surprised if it took him a long time.
Jam Packard MD is going to say it right now. He's going to be back for Sunday night against the Nuggets. I'm calling it right now. It seems like a more of a precaution and kind of something they have to do because of the protocol. And I'm with you. It's something that's necessary and overall beneficial, but Al Horford's going to be in uniform on Sunday night.
All right, Dr. Packard, thank you very much for weighing in there. Remember, you can, Dr. Packard accepts most insurance, but he does require a large cash deductible upfront.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's the game. That's how everything shakes out. You know, we'll see how they do against the Cavaliers. Let's be honest, folks. It's not looking great. It's not looking great. So we'll see how they do about that. Final thoughts for tonight, Sam?
No, it's just a scrappy win, and just got to give another respect to the big dog for coming in with that wild third quarter. 4 threes. I never thought it would happen. Amazing time to be alive.
Yeah, really. On the same night, I wish I could have a time machine and go back and get somebody to lay odds on this in Vegas. On the same night, Brooke Lopez and Amir Johnson both hit 4 three-pointers in a game. What are the Vegas odds on that?
I don't know. I don't think anyone would even give you odds. I think actually if you approach someone with that, they would call you crazy and not want to do business with a crazy person. Just
right.
Because it's absurd.
It's like one of the most absurd things to happen. So, all right, that's the show. Nice win, scrappy win. Typical Celtics, don't quit, and it paid off at the end. Great game for Amir Johnson. Typically a great game for Isaiah Thomas. A nice game for Avery Bradley. Not exactly the huge performance that he's been having, but still another nice game. Some problems here with the Crowder injury. We're going to see how that pans out. Hopefully, Al Horford is back soon. Before we go, 2 things. Again, I want to remind you to subscribe to the show. Rate us 5 stars. Please do that. That helps us rise in the rankings, gets the word out there. More people get to enjoy the show. And before we leave, I'm going to share with you an interview that I did on 96.3, the Big Jab in Portland, Maine. I was on with Javier Garrity and Chris Sedenka earlier today. So as we say goodbye, I will let you listen if you want to listen or not, whatever. You've gotten to this point. What's another 15 minutes? Here's my interview with those guys on the Big Jab this afternoon. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back. It is game night. Celtics taking on the Chicago Bulls tonight. Rondo, right?
Yes.
A little Rondo action?
Yes.
To talk about that
from RJ Hunter.
That's right. To talk about that from Locked On Seas podcast and RedsArmy.com at RedsArmy underscore John on Twitter. He is John Corrales. What's up, buddy?
I'm awake now after that intro.
Yes, sir. That's right. Ready to play. Ready to go tonight, my friend.
Let's go. I'm ready to warm up. I'm going to get into some layup lines here. Let's go.
I like it. What do we expect from Marcus Smart tonight?
Well, I don't think he's going to show much rust or anything like that. He's only been out for about a week. So I think he's going to – well, first of all, we're going to see how Avery Bradley's doing with the shoulder and see how much – what role he's going to play. But I think we're going to see a little bit of everything from Marcus Smart. I think we're going to see him handling the ball primarily as the backup, maybe the first guy off the bench, especially with Al Horford out. They're going to have to try and get really creative to mess with the Bulls. And one thing we know that Brad Stevens likes to do, he likes to throw different looks out there, especially against a team that really out-rebounded them and, as Jay Crowder said, punked them in the last game. So it's nice for them to get a rematch so quickly at home. So I expect Marcus Smart to be using a lot of creative ways to throw a bunch of confusing looks at the Bulls.
John, Al Horford out with a concussion, at least concussion protocol, more than likely the next couple games here. Tyler Zeller is going to get the start, and I just wonder what that rotation is going to look like, and I imagine the possibility for Jordan Mickey to get some minutes here.
Yeah, I would expect it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck situation. It's interesting that Zeller gets the start because I think that's a reaction to the rebounding numbers. The Celtics have been pretty terrible rebounding. That was always a concern coming into the season, and it's really reared its ugly head so far, especially against the Bulls. And we know that, you know, guys like Taj Gibson are going to go out there and crash real hard. So they're trying to match up some size. Normally in a situation like this, Jarebko would have been the starter. So they're going to bring him off of the bench to try and spread the floor and hopefully get some of that second unit scoring going. That's the other big concern, is that the bench can't score and nobody can box out. So I think we're going to see, obviously, Zeller get some time. And Mickey, if Zeller's ineffective, they'll go to Mickey. They'll go to whatever they need to do. They'll pull a big guy out of the stands if they have to get him in there and try to box out, because they've had a lot of trouble with that. So then we'll just have to wait and see, like I said, about Bradley. Bradley's their leading rebounder. So if he's out, their leading rebounder's out. How about that?
That's true. About 9 a game, right? It's like Jason Kidd out there. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, the C's kind of got whacked a little bit out in Chicago, and it's so early, and I'm not sure how much any of this means yet, but, you know, with the new group, and I know Horford's not in there tonight, but do you think tonight's big? Like, is tonight big for the C's to kind of go up against one of these teams in the Eastern Conference that we think might be pretty good and show something here at home?
Yeah, I mean, big in a relative sense. Right. You're not going to get too big at this point of the season. It's only November 2nd, so this is really the first full month of the season. But look, anytime you have an opportunity to get some quote-unquote revenge, or basically for them, right or wrong, and it's not about getting punked per se, it's about going out there and putting forth a good effort and boxing out and fixing a mistake that you made in a prior game against an opponent 2 games later. So it's a nice opportunity to go out there and see what lessons you may have learned. However, without Al Horford, it's kind of tough to really figure out if that's possible, because he made so many things happen. And look, the Celtics, despite getting out-rebounded, despite Chicago suddenly becoming Golden State from three-point land, Chicago still needed a Dwayne Wade three-pointer in the final seconds to finally put that game away. So I think the Celtics understand where they are. And I think fans need to understand a little bit that they didn't have Smart before. They don't have Al Horford now. That hopefully things start to come together injury-wise, and then we'll start to get a better sense. But it's always nice to go out and show somebody who beat you that you can't just walk into our house now and do it again.
Avery Bradley was absolutely lights out this last game, and we were talking earlier about him on the show about how his continues to improve from the outside. And here was a guy at Texas who is certainly mostly known for, you know, playing a true point position as well as some very good defense. And when he was drafted, there wasn't a lot of fanfare, especially about his scoring ability. But he's really turning in to a five-tool point guard for this team, John. And certainly, I don't want to say, you know, the sky's the limit because everyone has a limit. But at the same time, I think we're finally starting to see really the potential that I think the Celtics truly thought when they originally drafted him.
Yeah, here's a trap that we all fall into, is that we pigeonhole guys pretty much right away. That first impression is that lasting impression. And the first impression on Avery Bradley was, you know, NBA-level defender right away as a rookie, not a good ball handler at all, like just the worst ball handler out there. And so, and a guy whose jumper was really not refined at that point. So his scoring was really relegated to backdoor cuts with Rondo finding him backdoor and whatever, crashing the boards or maybe somehow getting that inconsistent jumper to fall a little bit, but mostly backdoor cuts early. Now, look, he's 25 years old. Your athletic prime is really considered to be about 27, so he's still getting there. Things like the ball handling, just getting older, just your body being able to do things more confidently as you get older, that has a big effect. Seriously, just physically growing into yourself has a big thing, and he works really, really hard. So there's a lot of this that comes from natural progression. There's a lot of it that comes from hard work, and there's certainly an element that comes from better teammates than having it all come together at this point. What I'm really interested to see is how not having Al Horford will affect Bradley, because Bradley has gotten a lot of benefit from Horford, not to give Horford all of the credit for Bradley's work, because Bradley's done a lot, and he certainly deserves a lot of the credit, but Horford also deserves some. And not having Horford there to run an offense through, make decisions for other guys, and get either the assist or the hockey assist or start that ball movement that results in an Avery Bradley shot, giving him an extra tick or two to get a clean look off while a defender's closing down on him. I'm kind of interested to see what kind of offense that Bradley's going to have tonight, and if he can continue to get those shots, then you really know that he started to make a lot more strides than even we thought after that first week.
John, like we mentioned a couple times here, Horford is out tonight, but just through the preseason and what you've seen so far, what are your impressions of that move? And I mean, when it's been good, it's looked pretty good, but what are your impressions so far?
Well, I think Horford has done a lot of the things that we have expected him to do, which is raise the games of the guys around him, make smart decisions. He has a lot of plays this season where he will take his defender, he will make a good, solid, strong move, and he would have an opportunity to get to the basket or get a clean look for himself, but instead he kicks it and works the ball around and initiates a pretty solid offensive set that ends up getting somebody else a better look. And that's really, I think, one of the biggest impacts that he's having on the team, is that other guys are starting to get better looks. And I've been saying this all over the place now. It's not like the Celtics are the best shooters in the world. They need that extra beat. You know, when somebody's closing out on them and they get a hand up in their face, that extra half step is the difference between getting a clean look and a contested look. And for the Celtics, that makes a lot of difference. So I think that's just a huge thing that Al Horford provides. Now, once he's there with Smart and once he's there with Olynyk, then we'll get to see how the entire thing works, because those two guys are major, major assets off the bench. And seeing them all work together is going to really be important to know where the Celtics really are and how much of an impact Horford's having on their games as well, especially defensively, how they help off of each other defensively, get out in transition and things like that. So we're still weeks away from having everybody back together and getting a full sense of his full impact.
A month from now, what are we saying about Jaylen Brown?
I think we're saying the same thing that he is. He's an athletic guy. He's a freak. He'll get out there in transition, and he'll try to just destroy people with poster-type dunk attempts. But he's still going to be raw for a while, and I don't think we can expect anything different. But he's going to be a rotation guy. I don't see any major improvements now to a month from now. He's going to kind of be this guy for a while. Like I was saying with Avery Bradley before, it took him all of this time to get to where he is. Jaylen Brown just turned 20. So he's got a lot to learn, a lot to figure out. And then again, playing alongside Kelly Olynyk is a lot different. Olynyk gives you a lot more space. Olynyk does different things than somebody like Jarebko or even Amir Johnson would do. Playing with Marcus Smart and playing against NBA level defenses, which he still hasn't done yet, changes the dynamic of what he's going to face. So it's possible he can get some improvement just by those other guys being on the floor. But I think physically and his type of game, that's going to be a much longer process. But he'll still be the guy that's out there for 15 or 20 minutes doing the things that he's been doing. And I don't think he's going to really hurt you in any great ways. He's just going to go out there and just try to be aggressive defensively. And if you can get out and run, he'll give you some highlights.
John, you mentioned Olynyk a few times, and you know, first of all, what is going on with him? You know, how close is he to coming back? And I guess second part of this question: how do you envision him fitting into this whole deal? You mentioned it a little bit there, and then you know, down the road, if the Celtics team ends up making a move, do you think that Olynyk is inevitably part of that?
Well, first things first is that he's probably a couple of weeks away from everything that I've heard. That shoulder is still getting stronger. He can shoot. He says his stroke is there. His rhythm is there. But in his role, he's going to be banging. He's going to be hitting guys. He's going to be taking a lot of shots to that shoulder. They need to make sure that that thing is fully healed so it can take that abuse, that NBA-level abuse. People, you don't think of the NBA as a contact sport. But I can tell you, banging down low in the NBA, there's a lot of real damage that can be done if you're not healthy. So that's the first thing. He's got to make sure that that's strong enough to withstand NBA level competition against other big guys. As part of the rotation, when he's with the starters, when he gets subbed in, there's still Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder out there. He's going to be more of a floor spacer, stand in the corner, kind of work his way around the corners, force a defender to kind of stay with him, because if you don't stay with him, he can hit from three at a pretty high level. People don't like to give Olynyk a lot of credit. Sometimes his critics don't like to give him a lot of credit. He is a really, really good three-point shooter, and you have to respect that, and has a big impact on giving guys like Isaiah Thomas an extra bit of space to get to the lane and do Isaiah Thomas things. Then, when those guys come off the floor, he's going to be looked at as a bigger part of their offense, maybe like their primary scorer. They're going to need him to get more into an aggressive mindset. And from there, he's going to hopefully do a lot more driving and getting to the lane and getting to the line. And then the last point, the trade, yeah, he can be involved in a trade. Look, they declined his option for this season, They declined to extend him. A lot of guys were getting extensions. They did not extend him. So that means that he's a restricted free agent going into next summer. They may lose him. And if they don't feel like they can afford him, if they don't feel like they can give him what he is worth, then they may use him as a part of a trade and just move on without him, because they know they're not going to contend this year. So they may just move on without him, get somebody else in here, and just say he's a piece for getting one of the more established stars into Boston.
From the Locked On Celtics podcast, also RedsArmy.com. You can find him on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. He's John Corrales. John, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy tomorrow night.
All right. Yeah. Two in a row. Woo.
That's right.
Go.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, John.